Happy Feast of Trumpets to everyone. Beautiful day today. I'm glad we got the nice, beautiful weather and kind of cheer things up, because to some extent what we talk about today is a gloomy subject. I'd like to start out in Hebrews chapter 11. Everyone turn to Hebrews 11, and I'm going to begin in verse 32. Here the Apostle Paul is in Hebrews, and we know that this is what's called the faith chapter, where it's talking about the saints, those in the past that had been faithful to God, and talks about their example. In verse 32, after he's talked about Abel, he's talked about Enoch, he's talked about Noah, he's talked about Abraham and Sarah, Joseph and others, he comes down, he says, verse 32, and said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." You see, and up to this point, it's talking about that how God, through these people, because they had faith, God was able to work, do great things through them. Wonderful things. Miracles happened. One man was strong enough to beat a whole army by himself at times. I mean, if you read about David and some of his mighty men, I mean, there's times when David and some of his mighty men literally killed hundreds of men by themselves in a battle. And David had a whole army of these men. You read about these things, and these were great things. But then, right after this, in the middle of verse 35, then it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Not yet, they haven't received it. "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You see, there were some that through their faith did great things, and God delivered. But there were some people that because of their faith suffered horribly. Some of them died horrible deaths. And God allowed that. And that was a testimony of their faith. Now the truth of it is, all these other people that it talks about earlier, if you take time to study the Bible, they had lots of trials and tribulations. They just didn't have to die as martyrs. And you know, when you think about this, you think about all the things that have happened to those who have served God. And you think that the fact of it is, brethren, there are still people to this day. They may not be in the United States, but there are people this day that are going through that. There are people that are keeping this holy day today that where they live, they have to hide to keep it. They're persecuted. They're tortured. We heard something about that people in India, for instance, as soon as they become a Christian, they're completely cut off from society. They're not allowed to work. They have to find some way to grub it out any way they can. Even the lowest in the lowest classes in India are better off than a Christian is. And the fact of it is that even us, even though we don't have to go through that, we have trials, we have tribulations. There's times we have some minor persecution. In the best of times, in the best of places, if you're a true Christian, you're going to have a certain amount of persecution in your life. You're going to have a few problems. Maybe job problems or financial problems, you know, because you can't work on the Sabbath. Or you take, or you're one of them fanatics that takes a week off in the fall to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, we can't use somebody like you. So you've got to take a lesser job. And you suffer financially. You know, there are things in this world that, because we're Christians, that are not sinful in and of themselves, but we can't take part in, because guess what? That activity or whatever, they do it on the Sabbath. Our children have to go through that all the time. If they're going to obey God, many times they can't take part in school activities because when do they do it? Friday night, Saturday. And the fact of it is, even in the if we have no persecution from other humans, we have a target on our back, and Satan is going to do anything and everything he can to destroy us, to tempt us into sin, to discourage us, to cause problems to happen. I mean, I've lived my life, and thankfully, God has been a little bit better to me in the car situation, but for years, I couldn't get ahead because my car or truck was broke down every week. I could fix it. It would be broke down. It'd take everything I made to fix that thing. It was a constant curse. Or whatever your problem is, Satan will make sure he persecutes you and he makes your life rough. We go through those trials and tribulations. You know, and there's a question that's asked in Revelation chapter 6. And it's a question I think we all ask. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation 6. Revelation 6, beginning in verse 9. And it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying..." Now obviously these people are dead. They're not conscious. This is symbolic. But it says, "They cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." And you know what? I think we say that. "How long, O Lord?" And God, and that answer is the same answer given to us. We're going to have to go through this life. We're going to have to suffer. And unless we live till the time these things happen, we're going to die. And there's others that's going to have to suffer and die. And there's even others that's going to have to die as martyrs. And who knows? We don't know how long we have. If we live long enough, we might be some of those people. We don't know. And we have to be prepared for that. But we ask, "How long, O Lord?" Well, you know what? We're not given an actual answer of exactly how long. Because as we read in Matthew 24, no one knows the time or the day or the hour. You know, when all these things start happening, well, we'll have a little bit better idea. We still won't know the exact day. But you know, this day that we're observing today teaches us that there is going to come a time when it is going to end. There is going to come a time when God is going to intervene in this world and He's going to set things right. He's going to punish the wicked and He's going to reward His servants. That's what this day is about. You know, we always look at it and we see all the gloomy parts of the day of the Lord, and it's war and it's death and all that stuff. And yes, that's true. There's that really dark cloud, but there's a silver lining to that dark cloud. And it's because of the hope that we have and the fact that all these bad things are coming, not just because God is a wrathful God that wants to kill and destroy. He's not. He's hoping these people will, when He punishes them, that they'll repent, or there'll be some hope for them. Some won't. But He also wants to bring justice. He wants to reward those who have been faithful to Him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 26, please. And here back in the Old Testament, all the way back here in Isaiah, there's a prophecy. Isaiah 26, verses 19 through 21. get the right chapter myself here. And breaking into it, it says, "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise." Now, it talks about, you know, that kind of weird. God's talking about my dead body. It's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was God, and He became. And it's not saying that actually this is, you know, that our resurrection and His happened at the same time, but it's because of His death, it's because of His resurrection that we can be resurrected. It says, "Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Verse 20, "Come, my people, enter you into your chambers, and shut your doors about you, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be past." Symbolically, this is saying the same thing it said in Revelation 6. You know, if you're dead and in your grave, you're hidden. You don't have to worry about what's going on. You're not going to go through the suffering. And it could talk about, you know, God protecting some of those that are alive as well. Verse 21 says, "For behold, the Lord comes out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Right here in the book of Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, God prophesied that there would come a time when He would come, punish the wicked, and resurrect the righteous. The resurrection was right back here in the Old Testament in the prophets. That's why when Jesus talked to Martha and Mary, they knew there was going to be a resurrection, just because it said so here in Isaiah. Daniel chapter 12. It's another scripture in the Old Testament. Talks about this. Daniel chapter 12. I think most of us in church are pretty familiar with this chapter, with this verse. Daniel chapter 12. Talking about the time of the great tribulation and the day of the Lord, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people." You know, the great archangel that God uses to lead His armies. "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time." We heard about that when Howard read Matthew 24. It's the same time. There's only one time like that. The greatest time of trouble ever was. "And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book." It's talking about the book of life. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Isn't this, this is amazing. And isn't this comforting to know that that all of the saints and us, if we're faithful, someday we will be raised to life. And not only will we just be raised to life, we won't be brought back to life just as physical human beings to go through all this again. We're not going to be given even physical life, eternal physical life with good health, just good health. We are going to be raised as spirit beings, part of the family of God, and God is going to share His glory with us, because we are going to shine as the stars ourselves, just as Jesus Christ does. That's something to look forward to. And if we would always remember that and think about that, these trials that we go through wouldn't really bother us that much. Problem is that many times we forget that. We get bogged down in life. The Apostle Paul, he also tells us about this time in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Second Thessalonians 1:4. Here Paul writes, and I'm kind of breaking into the thought here. It says, he's addressing the Thessalonian church, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." He's praising them. He says Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they this letter was from them, and they're praising them because they've heard how faithful they are, even through all the trials and tribulations, and he's praising them. And they were going through persecutions, and they were going through tribulations. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. You know, it, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, it is trials, it's tribulations, it's hard times that God tests us. He tests our faith to see if we're going to be faithful. He tries us. He uses those things to purge us of the bad within us and to build character within us so that we're worthy of being kings and priests in the kingdom of God. You know, we don't know. Obviously, we don't earn our salvation. That's a gift. But if God is going to have, if we're going to be in the first resurrection and we're going to be kings and priests to rule and to teach others, we have to have the character to do that. And that's why we go through these things. And it says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You see, when you read Revelation and you talk about some of those people, the ones that have taken the mark of the beast, some of those people are so far gone and so openly rebellious against God that there will be no hope for them. Not even in the second resurrection. They're going to be destroyed with an everlasting destruction. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in them, all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. See, Jesus Christ is going to return. And these people that went through all this trial and this tribulation, those who brought that upon them are going to be punished at some point. Whether they're alive at the time of Christ's return or whether they're resurrected and they'll have to stand before Jesus Christ, there's going to come a time they will have to answer for that. And God is going to reward His saints with the kingdom. Brother, that's what this day is about. That's what the Feast of Trumpets is about. You know, the trumpets, we read trumpets, and obviously, like Bill said, the word trumpets is not actually in the text, but it talks about blowing, and that's the word they use. They talked about blowing a trumpet. Well, we see a series of trumpets in Revelation, talking about the day of the Lord. And that seventh trumpet is what? The last trumpet. That's when the resurrection happens. In fact, the next scripture talks about that. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Famous scripture for most of us. Most of us could probably quote this. Revelation 11, verses 15 through 18. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded." This was the seventh trumpet. This is the last trumpet. "And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because You have taken to You Your great power and have reigned." Verse 18, "And the nations were angry, and Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that You should give reward unto Your servants the prophets, to the saints, to them that fear Your name, small and great, and You should destroy them which destroy the earth." You see, God is going to, He's going to come. He's going to punish the wicked. He's going to reward certain. And you notice it says, "And He'll destroy them which destroy the earth." I believe there's a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect to this, because the wicked are spiritually destroying the earth. But there's also a physical aspect. God, what did God do when He created the earth? He put Adam and Eve in there to do what? Dress and keep the garden. We're not, you know, and what has man done? Man is slowly destroying the earth now. And at that time, the earth is going to be almost completely destroyed by the warfare and all the things they do. And God does not take that lightly. He gave the earth to us as a gift, and He expects us to take care of what He has given us. You know, that's what this day is about. This day is, it's not just the gloomy part. Yeah, unfortunately the gloomy part's there, because that's got to happen to get to the good part. For God and for Jesus Christ to set things straight, the wicked have to be punished and or destroyed. Jesus Christ has to take control of this earth. But He's also going to, this is going to be the time that the saints are rewarded. That things are set right. That this earth is put back in a shape that the kingdom of God can begin with those few people that are remaining. It's necessary. And so because of that, this is a day that us as true Christians should rejoice. You know, even though this day has bad, what we think is bad or negative aspects, it ultimately turns out for the good. All of God's holy days are times that we should rejoice, even this one. For the final scripture, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 22 verse 12, and this is Jesus Christ Himself speaking here. And He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and My reward is with Me, to give every man according as his work shall be."